We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Lemonada.
This is Eric Alvarez. One quick note before we begin. This episode is available in Spanish. You are listening to the English version, which means I'm going to try to say soccer instead of football. Para escucharlo en español, busca el podcast Mi Mundialista Favorito.
And what an answer, too, from Loyal.
It's September 30, 2020, and San Diego Loyal FC is leading 3-1 in their USL Championship match against Phoenix Rising FC in Tempe, Arizona.
Midfielder Colin Martin has the ball when all of a sudden we hear this from the announcer.
Both Coach Shantz and Landon are trying to figure out what is happening or just happened.
Martin says he hears a homophobic slur from an opposing player on the Phoenix Rising.
I've never had a slur used against me on the field like that before. And so I felt personally attacked, and I felt that the player was trying to really, really, really hurt me and also provoke me to do something really bad.
For Colin, the only openly gay male soccer player in U.S. soccer at the time, the words were jarring, but not completely surprising.
I decided that, you know, this wasn't something I was just going to let slip.
Colin alerts Coach Lando Nonowan to what just happened. The referees get involved. Phoenix Rising head coach Rick Chance gets involved.
And we hear this exchange in a video of the moment recorded by the San Diego Loyal.
Rick, this is beyond. This is what Junior did last week. Also, like, this is beyond soccer.
Guys, just this, soccer. Is, this is what's
Don't
going
make
on.
A big scene. No, no.
Chance responds, "Come on, man. Don't make a big scene." Then Donovan is heard saying, "We have to get this out of our game." Then Chance, "It has nothing to do with racism." Chance replies, "How long have you been playing soccer?" Chance doesn't finish his sentence before Donovan's hands are up to his face.
Landon says, "You're better than that."
Listen, this is what's going to happen. The red card is rescinded.
I think it was surprising how overtly homophobic it was. And how casual he was in just saying how he felt in that in sport, homophobia happens, it exists, and we should just be used to it.
The interaction doesn't end there. We'll tell you how it ends in a bit. But that moment and what happened after was more than enough for a player who was not on the team, not at the game, or even in the same country to take action.
You know, in any sport, really, especially men's sport, there's such a kind of macho, tough guy, you know, act act that people have to put on. And, you know, I think when, if you somehow associate yourself with LGBTQ, it kind of makes you not look like a macho tough guy. And that's kind of a stereotype that needs to get washed away.
DeAndre Yedlin, a defender for the U.S. men's national team, wants soccer players to be better allies to the LGBTQ plus community. And he's starting with himself.
I'm former Colombian striker Juan Pablo Angel.
And I'm LX News host Eric Alvarez.
This is my new favorite futbolista, where we introduce you to some of football's brightest stars and the causes they're fighting for off the pitch.
San Diego's arguing here now.
After Landon Donovan and Rick Chance exchange words, the teams go into halftime.
Here's Landon Donovan.
I was quite emotional in the moment because I look at Colin as a child. He's like a son to me. And so that was hard to see him go through that.
It's unclear what the resolution is going to be or if there is even going to be one.
The options were do nothing. Do nothing now and say something after the game, or take a stand for what we felt was right, and ultimately that's what we decided to do.
And to understand the gravity of this moment, you need to know that a week before this incident, another San Diego Loyal player was the target of a racist slur from an LA Galaxy player. So, there was a lot riding on this moment. The teams come back after the 15-minute recess and assume their positions on the pitch as usual. But what happens next is more unusual. Here's how the team decides to respond to the alleged homophobic slur.
One by one, the San Diego Loyal players start taking a knee. The Rising FC player accused of saying the slur, Junior Flemings, released a statement after the game denying, quote, directing a homophobic slur at Colin Martin, end quote, and said he stands in solidarity with the LGBTQ community.
We reached out to Flemings for comments and did not hear back. And in a statement released after the incident, Coach Chance says his "how long have you been playing soccer" comment was, quote, in reference to Donovan's behavior on the field with the referee, and that it was in no way excusing any alleged homophobic behavior, end quote. We reached out to Coach Chance and have not heard back. Keep in mind that when Coach Chance said, "how long have you been playing soccer," he was speaking to a person who is widely considered the best U.S. soccer player of all time.
So you could say, well, it happens all the time. It's not that big of a deal, but we should probably still try to eradicate that because we don't need it in the game. We understand it's going to take time. We can't expect everyone to be perfect 100% of the time, but let's take steps towards mitigating this so we can get it out of our game. There's no need for it in sports or in society. There's not a need for it, then we should just get rid of it.
The alleged slur and San Diego Loyal response quickly made headlines.
The team released a statement from Coach Donovan that night.
And we made a vow to ourselves, to our community, to our players, to the club, to USL, that we would not stand for bigotry, homophobic slurs, things that don't belong in our game.
The team didn't just forfeit the game. They gave up their chance at a playoff spot in the second tier USL Championship that year. A few weeks later, the USL suspended Flemings for the rest of the season over the alleged incident.
It was our last regular season game, and we had put so much work into being in a spot to potentially make the playoffs. And so for us to walk off the field based on my sexuality, it felt more than unfair. It felt like a really bad dream. And it was very overwhelming for that to be a factor in me playing, because all I've ever tried to do is have my sexuality not impact my professional career and my love for playing the sport.
It was San Diego Loyal's response that caught the eye of DeAndre Yedlin, who was a defender for Newcastle United in England at the time.
I thought, you know, that was amazing that, you know, a team would do that and kind of take that issue, and because it is a much bigger issue than the game, and leave the field for that. You know, I don't think in this day and age you would see that a lot.
it just so happened that at the time, DeAndre was looking to invest in something. He wasn't sure what, but he wanted it to be something with a positive impact.
I'd been talking with my agent about kind of wanting to invest in something a little bit, more along the sports lines or sports line. I have, investments in stocks and things like that. And it just so happened that San Diego Loyal was also a team that had been in the headlines quite a bit for walking off the pitch because a player had been called homophobic slur.
To DeAndre, what happened in Tempe, Arizona, was an inflection point for the sport of soccer, or at least he thought it could be.
I thought it was ridiculous, but I also think, it's something that does happen a lot. And it kind of, it's just the fact that that player got caught or something was said, but it does happen a lot. And like I said, for a team to make that stand and support their player like that says a lot. It's the same with racial slurs as well. Really anything that's kind of demeaning another person, that sort of stuff has no spot in the game or in any sport in this life really at all.
So DeAndre reached out to the San Diego Loyal. Here's what San Diego Loyal head coach Lando Donovan remembers from those initial talks.
What impressed me about DeAndre was he wanted to be involved in a club for the right reasons. And, well, the reasons that he cared about. So a lot of times people want to be a part of or invest in a club based on what their potential is or where they are in the standings or how big the club is, etc. But DeAndre's questions were more about our values and what we believed in. And so I was really impressed by that.
And then obviously that incident came up. I think that was not that incident, but how they dealt with that incident was a big part of what they wanted that club to be. And it was bigger than the game of soccer.
Through the San Diego Loyal's actions, DeAndre saw the beginnings of a sort of a blueprint other teams could follow to fight homophobia in the sport. A blueprint that will help heterosexual LGBTQ ally players like DeAndre move the needle.
In any sport really, especially men's sport, there's such a kind of macho, tough guy, act that people have to put on. And I think if you somehow associate yourself with LGBTQ, it kind of makes you not look like a macho tough guy, and that's kind of a stereotype that needs to get washed away.
On May 20th, 2021, DeAndre Yedlin decided to buy an ownership stake in the San Diego Loyal.
It was easy to say yes, I would love to be a part of this, because that's what I want to be a part of. It's a professional club that's setting examples with great values and great morals that align with mine.
That's DeAndre Yedlin talking to the chairman of the team, Andrew Vasiliades, during the announcement day press conference.
When you talk about sport, I think a lot of it can be either what's going on financially or what's going on the field. And not a lot is talked about what's going on morally and ethically.
So what exactly is going on morally or ethically in soccer when it comes to LGBTQ inclusion? We reached out to Hudson Taylor, the executive director of Athlete Ally, a nonprofit working to champion LGBTQI+ inclusion in and through sports, to find out.
We've been spending the last 10 years working to end homophobia and transphobia in sport.
In U.S. soccer, there have only been two publicly out LGBTQ male players. That doesn't inherently make soccer a homophobic sport by any means, but Hudson Taylor from Athlete Ally says it raises an important question.
If the culture of sport was as welcoming and affirming as it could and should be, then the number of out players across all sports should really be matching or more similar to the demographics that we see nationally, globally, for the LGBTQ community.
For Colin Martin, the culture of soccer was not as welcoming as it could be, well before he became a professional athlete.
I just wish I had coaches in my youth level that would have called out very homophobic either statements or words or sentiments, or they would have just been more cognizant of the language that they used, but also my teammates used and just made it clear what is acceptable and what isn't, and just been a little bit more mindful that maybe the heterosexual experience isn't the being had for every single one of their players.
Homophobia can manifest itself in different ways, like the slurs players like Colin Martin hear from opposing players, but also from the fans.
I'd say it's more pronounced in soccer than...
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Oh, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
And in any other sport, you have these homophobic chants that happen every single year.
One of the most prominent examples of this is the chant fans of Mexico's national team have shouted in unison against opposing goalkeepers. And it came to a head at the World Cup in 2014. The four-letter word starts with a P and translates to a male prostitute, but in Mexico it's long been used as a denigrating way to refer to gay men.
If a fan is in the stadium and they hear that type of language, they're not going to want to go back. They're not going to feel safe and comfortable.
As pressure grew from outside groups to stop the homophobic chant at the 2014 World Cup, FIFA started fining the Mexican Soccer Federation anytime the chant was used by fans. In 2019, FIFA announced it would impose additional sanctions if the fans continued shouting the word at games. In 2021, the Mexican national team released this video condemning the chant.
90 minutes of soccer. 90 minutes supporting our team. That's why we show up at a stadium. To lift their energy with La Ola. To raise hope with Cielito Lindo. To say, si se puede. And to shout, Mexico. Not so they know where we come from, but who we are. The discriminatory chant is in the past because it's no longer part of our values as a nation. Our identity is our national team. Let's stop chanting that one word so we can chant many more. Let's chant for the Mexico of today.
That hasn't stopped the chant altogether, but it's videos like the one you just heard that Hudson Taylor says we need more of.
So problem number one is that the people with the most power and influence are the least educated. So solution one is we need to invest in more LGBTQ education. That's education for our coaches, for ownership, and in this conversation, for fan bases, right? Fans need to be better educated about the harm that those chants are causing the LGBTQ community. And not just players on the field of play, but also who feels safe going to a game, who feels safe being out with their partner, with their loved one at a game.
And another path to making soccer a more inclusive sport is something players like DeAndre are already doing.
Now we have to make, you know, allyship synonymous with sportsmanship. We need to make what it means to be a champion athlete, ingrained in what it means to be civic-minded and a member of a community.
That allyship can come in many forms. DeAndre chose to manifest it by putting his money where his mouth is. But that isn't the only way, according to Hudson Taylor.
One of the challenges when we look at how do we measure allyship, how do we quantify like good ally behavior, I think the challenge is that courage is conditional, right? So you are not going to be a great ally in every single environment. And as much as we can put forth the model way of showing up, I might be really comfortable engaging with a stranger. I might feel a lot less comfortable talking to my grandparents or my parents, right?
Here's Landon Donovan.
The goal is that there are more athletes like Colin who can walk around the training facility and talk about the date he went on with this guy like he just did this morning and how annoying the guy was that on the date he went on, and nobody thinks differently of it. So in our locker room, in our culture, in our environment, that's just normal. He talks about it just like another guy would talk about going out with a girl. So if you create that sort of environment that people can live in and show up in every day, then it just becomes normal.
When things are spoken about, whether people like it or not, it gets into people's heads, and then the conversation has to be had. So at the end of the day, I think that's the best thing at this point we can do. It's really hard to force something on anybody. If somebody doesn't want something to happen, then, you know, they're not going to be happy about it.
For Colin Martin, it's crucial to have players on the field with him, like DeAndre Yedlin, who speak out about what's right or wrong, not just for him, but for fans of the sport as well.
Obviously, DeAndre wanted to be a part of something bigger than sport and bigger than maybe just one moment. He realized that if there's a way that he can put his voice and use it for good and support someone that's having a tough moment and support a group of people that have been marginalized, I think that's just it's powerful and it speaks to him as a person and it means a lot.
DeAndre is still figuring out what his own ally chips look like after the partial purchase of the San Diego Loyal. To start, he's checking his own behavior.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never said things that, you know, are perfectly appropriate either. Sometimes you're in the heat of the game, you know, you don't consciously make a decision about what you say. It just comes out. And then, you know, after you're like, damn, I shouldn't have said that. But it's definitely made me a lot more conscious about what I'm saying, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. Because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm coming out and I'm supporting these sorts of things, and I need to act on that behavior and try to set the best example that I can.
It helps that DeAndre has a compass that helps him decide how to navigate the world and be an ally to good. His name is Ira Yedlin, and he's DeAndre's grandpa.
A lot of what I believe, a lot of the foundational morals and values that I have come from him. I can remember as a kid from when I was young having debates about certain things and just being able to keep a really open mind about things. I think this, oh, that's interesting. You know, what do you think about this? And I think that's why, you know, again, moving in today, that's why I'm able to formulate, you know, these sort of thoughts and, you know, be outspoken about certain things that I believe in. Because they've given me that platform from when I was young to be open-minded and to really try to formulate my own thoughts, beliefs, and speak out on what I believe in.
DeAndre has carried that spirit of asking questions and speaking out with him to this day.
He takes his platform seriously, as his career allows him to traverse the globe and reach thousands of people.
It's not just to look good in media or to, you know what I mean, get kudos from everybody else. It's to actually make a real change. And, we have the power to do that, especially with, you know, social media and things like that, where, our platforms are bigger and we have the power to, you know, reach tons and tons and tons of people between all of us. That's why we do it, is ultimately to change things that need to be changed.
On the next episode of my new favorite futbolista.
Why would the U.S. men's national soccer team send a letter to Congress after a mass shooting?
We have children losing their parents and parents, losing children. We have, it's shameful. It's disgraceful. And as a country, we got to do better.
Find out how Walker Zimmerman, Chris Richards, DeAndre Yedlin, and Mark McKenzie are using their voices to make a difference. Thank you for listening to my new favorite Futbolista. There will be over 500 players at the World Cup, so we have more inspiring stories to tell. Go back to the My New Favorite Futbolista feed right now to hear previous episodes, and make sure to subscribe to get future episodes automatically downloaded to your device. This episode of My New Favorite Futbolista was produced by LX News and Telemundo. Juan Pablo Ángel and I were your hosts. Fernando Hurtado wrote this episode, and Justin Covington edited it. Fernando Hurtado and Seth Rubenroit were the supervising producers. Matthew Glasser served as managing editor. Jeremy Berg and Matt Goldberg served as executive producers. Tony Pierce was the motion graphics designer with support from Aaron Pennell. Justin Covington, Brad Fossler, James Jeffrey, Kwatsin Gutierrez, and Sanjesh Singh were the production crew. Stephen Dawson was the media manager and quality control editor.